And I'm trying to get a little bit update on that, make it a little bit more user friendly, and a bit more streamlined. And so that's one of the processes we're on. The IWMA itself is offering services just as facilitating the process. We really don't set rates, and we don't maintain an franchise. We're here to just basically facilitate and help keep that process moving. It was important for us to take a look at the rate flyers of Morro Bay and hosting a one-day event at our HHW site. Recently just had a meeting with stakeholders about that process. Because our facility at Morro Bay is in the state of flux on the old wastewater treatment plant, and because I really don't like mixing explosives, hazardous waste, reactives, we're not going to do that. I'd love to find a good long-term solution to marine flares. Accepting them at our HHW site, I don't think this would be a good long-term solution. SB50 still working on this. I bring this up a lot every meeting. We talk about SB50 process. This has the potential to be bigger than SB 1383 from the impact of the services. So this fundamentally is extended producer responsibility for single-use plastics. Now they're in the rulemaking process. They're in the process of, they've declared a PRO, which is the resource organization that's going to be identifying which materials are recyclable, which materials are recyclable. And they're also going to administer the $300 million a year as collected through this piece of legislation. So we really like to make sure that we stay close to this and make sure that we have to agree with this. When I was at Swan weeks ago, it was the topic of discussion. The plastic industry is pushing back pretty hard. Most of the plastics industry is really pushing hard to say the definition of most of the plastics that allows them to be taken in the compost bin. We don't share that belief because if we put most of the plastics in the compost bin, we lose our organic certification of compost and it can no longer be utilized. There's different instances that are all trying to hard for time and get their things. We're in the process of monitoring this and having input into the rulemaking process. And then SB 1280 is moving forward with propane cylinders. So we, on the HD 37 grant, we're putting the use of the small 1 pound propane cylinders. They're now available to miners. For purchase and for reuse. And that's something that I think starting to reduce the impact of heat that we get at our HHW sites from the disposable buildings. The reusable grocery bag, AB 2236, SB 1053, those are the two plastic organ species that close the loop when they banned the plastic bags, and then they all of a sudden started to go bigger and bigger plastic bags that were reusable. This close to the loop on that. That's moving forward as well. And SB 1066 is a marine flare extended producer responsibility, which is what we're hoping for, because that will give the people who sell the flares have to take the flares back. And then the last thing on is we're transitioning away from paycheck to producer payroll processing at the end of this month to clean up our payroll processing services. That concludes my second presentation.
Are they local or county or something like that? You
selected them,
you looked at multiples. Okay. And then on the reusable grocery bag exemption or loophole being closed, so you said it's moved forward to the next stage in the legislature. If they pass and the governor signs it, I assume that would be effective, Jay. Or is there a different date?
I think it's January 1st of 2025. I think that's what's going to happen.
essentially for us and our constituents, that would be, you know, you can't opt to buy a plastic bag at the checkout counter at the grocery store. You could buy a paper.
Right, any further questions? Well, thank you for that report. Appreciate it. Going to go to agenda. For that, is we don't have any public comment on the consent. Not have public comment for matters on the consent. None from our audience. With that, is there anyone who would like to be full or we're looking at the compost rebate. And the social media. Sure, I can see this. There he is.
Yeah, Janet. Yeah, maybe we can get a more bulk audit services. That this is really important that, yeah, last, we got into trouble many years ago. And obviously they did the work, but then again, the garbage out. And, yeah.
So the company that responded, that we chose, like, we have one person that responded. They've got a lot of experience with solid waste agencies such as ours, particularly Delmar's solid waste authority, where very familiar with the fact that this is the type of work. And so when we did our due diligence checking on the background, I didn't call Delmar because I'm front of that was. We're got to be in the jumps to that check. It's the way.
Now we know. Okay, so that's on page 22. Answer questions. Yes.
Peter, I'd like to ask a little bit about the compost rebate program.
That's on page 12.
First of all, you've listed three different agencies on here that aren't in this county. Are we giving $10 rebates to Salinas and Avenel?
No, they have to procure. So those agencies actually procure organic waste from us. So when they receives organic material from PK and Kajurga both receive organic material from Buckeye and or HCI. The other one is Piggly Gray out of Santa Fe Valley. They also receive material sometimes from South County sanitary, sometimes from other areas. So they have to have procured material from this county and have the SB 1383 qualified material before we allow this.
Give them the $10.
No, it goes to the person that procures the compost, not the company that's producing the compost. But it goes to the farm, it goes to the agricultural operation.
So you're saying that some portion of the compost that these entities are composting came from Slo County.
Right.
And then the buyer that we're subsidizing.
Yeah, the buyer is
from Slo County.
So an example is Wolf Vineyard. Right out here in the valley. He purchases compost from HCI, and that compost is taken there, and he's the one that's recipient of the compost rebate. So it's the actual agricultural operation, not compost generator.
So in the case of what Robert was asking about, in the case of, let's say, Salinas, he's day got some of his material from Slo County.
Right.
He's selling it to, let's say, a winery in Slo County.
Or even Monterey County, as long as it came from our facility.
As long as it came from, okay.
Yeah. As long as you're written, the material has to be qualified material.
Got it. So just to summarize, it's basically benefiting our county, at least in one way, probably two.
Yeah, it benefits our county because it creates a market, a circular economy for the reusable compost. you know, the challenge with compost generated from food waste and our green bin collection system is sometimes the perfect example is ACI. It's not cured completely before they procure it. And so we're hoping to close that loop by offering financial incentive to the person who's actually using the compost and putting it on.
I'd like to just, what's the value of a ton of compost? I mean, 10 bucks is 10 bucks, but what kind of discount is
that? So typically, you know, you're paying, depending upon the compost, the volume of compost left, it can vary quite a bit. It's typically about $35 to $45 a ton. I mean, depending upon how much they're buying. But what we're doing by offering the $10, and this actually goes back against our SB 1383 requirement for compliance with SB 1383.
So, is it working? I mean, we're meeting 1383 because we're giving somebody some money to go buy the product.
Correct. And it is working. Yeah. Short answer? Yes. We're one of the few jurisdictions that are actually in compliance.
And then you had 79,000, a little over that this year.
That's an expense.
See, and you budgeted 150. Are you expecting it to go up?
Well, we'd like for it to go up. We've got the unincorporated county that's joined us, and that they have they include CSDs in their procurement requirement. And so we've got to get out there and try and work more with healthy soils and resource conservation districts that are Tablas and then the Post Office Valley. Those two conservation districts trying to get more on the ground and develop the circular economy.
And I'll come and see you because I'm interested in what qualifies it to be a 1383. You don't need to explain that.
Okay.
It's about like a 25% discount then.
Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah, correct. And this is a program that we replicated from Your Way Sonoma. They're the ones that originally put this program together. It was accepted by Cal Recycle. And so this is something that we've had in place now. It's third year starting.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything else from the consent agenda that we pull or discuss? Sorry to see everybody. Okay. If not, we'll go on to the regular agenda.
She has a call for the question.
What?
We need a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Move we pass the consent agenda items 5 through 10.
Hammond seconds.
Okay, so moved and seconded. Roll call, please. Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Barton?
Yes.
Friends?
Yes.
Ann Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Mr. Pauldy?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
And Ms. Marks? Yes. Motion passes unanimously. Unanimously. Okay. Now we'll go on to the regular agenda and the public comment period. Do we have any public comment on the regular agenda? They do not. So let's go on to number 11, technical assistance grant application. Mr. Clark, you want to?
So this presentation we've got Alex Fallbaker is going to tell me how to advance when anyone else can do advance.
The camera
you want to stand behind you?
Yes.
Okay. I trust you.
All right. Yes. I'll stand back. All right. The TAG grant wanted to get an application to support reducing waste, increasing access. So our focus is really on increasing access to water and reducing bottled water usage. And so there's two locations that we identified in the state that would be really important to develop the beginning of this program to build it out. So Barney Schwartz Park has a pump track that opened on April 27th. And it's seen continued use, and it is jamming like every day. I go there for walks, and I see kids of all ages. You got scooters and skateboards and bikes, and everyone's out there. So it's really
I think we're about to hit the peak time when that thing is going to really start kicking off even more when kids are out of school and it's going to get hot. And the one thing about that location is there really isn't any water that's like really close. So we go to the next slide. This is a location. There is a tie-in to a main that's right there on the farthest right picture. So then that's where we would install this. This is the exact the bottle filling station with a pump. And then it is in between both of the upper and the lower pump track. One's an intermediate pump track, and the other one's like a beginner one. So it would give access to anyone utilizing that, those two facilities, and then also the lawn that's behind all of the activity fields. So if you're walking up there, parked up by the lake, and you're walking down, you want to fill up some water or you want to grab a drink, you can do that too. So it's a pretty high traffic area, and it'll change the way that you're able to interact with the park and have water. Now, you know, you can bring your refillable, reusable container, fill it up there. You don't need to bring water bottles that are plastic water bottles because you know that at the very least there's a fountain that's really close. And if you bring your own, you can go to the next one. This is in the City Hall lobby. So we're looking to do some upgrades there in the coming months. And we wanted to make sure to upgrade that unit as well to include a bottle filling station. So it does get heavy use. Both of these units are tamper resistant, so they require a push on them instead of the sensor, so it doesn't get messed with. And then with this unit, there's a counter on there, which will help us report out like how many bottles we're offsetting by putting this in. And on the last unit, we'd include a flow meter when it's installed, so we can also do the tracking. So we're hoping to be able to install both of these. And then with this success, be able to show the value that it brings to the community and continue to do this throughout other parks and public facilities. And so this was just based on the data we collected there, like what we would like to do. So we show good results. Hopefully, you know, City Council will also agree that it was a good way to engage the community and hold water bottles and then also reducing the amount of waste.
Thank you. Yeah. Are there any questions?
Yeah. It's probably more of a Peter question, actually. On the grant, they reflect, you know, what they're going to spend the $10,000 on, and it says in-kind contributions, 3-year total, which also equals $10,000. Do the terms of our tags grants require a match?
No. Okay, sorry.
Okay. Got it. So, in any of our other agencies that want to comply, show a matching grant or match to the grant.
But any kind also match.
Right. Yeah. I see that. Okay. I see that.
It is important.
Yeah.
Madam Chair.
Sure.
Peter, this gentleman gave a presentation at the summit about what they're doing out at the landfill. Very impressed and multitude of things they're doing. I thought maybe we could invite him back and make a short presentation on what he's doing out there. I think it'd be very informative.
I just gave one this morning. Happy to do it.
Adam's getting very, very versed on that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions at this point? Then I'm going to ask the chair to help that with the vote.
Happy to do it. I don't want to have a conflict.
No, I'll leave you out, John. I'll move the approved medical assistance grant as
second.
Great. It's been moved by Mr. Burbo.
Director, the members of the Director Hammond, actually, my recommendation is this is considered a remote interest. Okay. So you don't have to step out of the room, but I did look into this. Yeah. If you would just state the obvious conflict and then recuse from the vote. And, okay. And that's the practice that I'd recommend.
All righty, we need another second.
I'll second.
Robinson.
I got it.
But before we vote, John has to leave.
Oh, come on.
Let's make
it.
I
spin them around.
All right. Okay. So, roll call, please.
Mr. Barbo.
Yes.
Mr. N.
Yes.
Ms. Barton.
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie.
Yes.
Mr. Hammond.
Abstain or whatever. I'm out.
Whatever. Mr. Newton.
Yes.
Mr. Paulding.
Yes.
Ms. Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
And Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Which does pass, thank you.
Right, thank you. Thank you for the presentation. You feel that all the city council to come around and put them all over.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, now. Time for the third quarter budget review for the fiscal year 2023-2024. I think Mr. Crowe is going to.
Brief report about the review. Our revenues continue to exceed our expectation. Each materials that we have. So as we get those in the rent, they'll see those. Other minor equipment, we're working on trying to come up with a reasonably effective piece of front of house recycling that you test in 1383. And then hazardous waste disposal, we'll see those. Those expenses continue to go up as they are typically late. They have to be managed from cradle to grave before we get invoice. And so what we dispose of in the third quarter, we don't see the first quarter of 2024. And the public education and outreach, as we continue to develop these materials and start doing with the survey and some of the other pieces. We'll start to see more and more of those expenses come into line with budget. And then the special department expenses, we just saw a presentation where we're able to help. Those will all come into play. Briefly, the numbers to look at, take a look at our revenues. We're 1.1 million on the third quarter. Our expenses were about 760,000. We did about 343 over the entire kind of run a zero base budget. I think a lot of this has to do with the solid waste management fee, and that fee that's directly related to the solid waste fees that are being charged by the waste haulers. And that as they continue to go up, we're going to see these increases. That's why we're going to propose in the next budget cycle we actually do a new fee study. We're going to reduce it to 3.3%. We really want to make sure we do a study that allows us to get the mechanism, get us back into line into our earnings. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, because this table is straight like this, it's rather than curved. I'm having trouble seeing the people down there. So if you have a question, just like call her. Righty, who's got a question?
I have a question. Mr. Peter, we discussed this at another time, but I was interested in the interest revenue. This document doesn't, not clear what it means, but since we have this pile of cash somewhere,
yes.
I thought we were making more than what this said zero.
Yeah, well, so what happens is that the auditor controller's office holds our money in the escrow in an account here. Probably not in this building, but in a bank. And we get the interest accrual at the end of the year. Oh. So at the end of the year, you'll see an adjustment for the interest.
Okay, thank you. I know we discussed it earlier.
Yeah, it's
I didn't see it. Thank you.
Yeah, you all see it till we close.
Any other questions at this point? I had a question about the special department expenses. Is our staff reaching out to the or waiting for them to say, well, Sando's got one, Paso got one, so that we won't?
Yeah, when we do the new budget cycle, reduce that dollar number.
So that everyone will have a chance.
Yeah, and we want to make sure that everybody has equal opportunity. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to turn anybody away, especially because of the situation we're in right now. But I want to be able to make sure that we help their goals at running line buttons.
We've gone over this material several times, so I think that's why there's not so many questions.
It's just the red word button. It's just a discussion.
Yeah.
This is now written discussion. You see the bottom of that.
So, on A, we have discussed the city director spending plan with the full board and the board of staff. You're ready. Waste management. Reducing it from 2.4 year over year. Original document set to be. Today's action is to adopt the message 406 01.
That the dollar fees are going up, so therefore the dollar amount would also be going up. In terms of what we use. But in terms of the customer,
So the next dollar waste increase is going to probably be a CPI increase that takes place January 1. And then so that will be reflected on their bill. This reflection will take place by first this year. And so they'll see a reduction from 4.4 3.0% decrease on their bill starting July 1st. So we'll see a decrease in our revenue through that time frame. And then when the solid waste collection fees go up again, see it kick back up. By then, we're hoping that we'll have a solid waste fee study in place. And that will give us an opportunity for the board to act. Or state
instruction. Okay. Peter, we still have, again, by our charter, basically up to 5%. That's our
up to 5.4.
5.4 max that we could do. Just because of the revenues. And I hope flowing light down, we just
it'd be great if we were private sector, but we're not.
Right, any questions or comments?
Just clarifying, so even after the all rates go up in July, we'll still be collecting less revenue.
So assuming that the revenues don't go beyond it, because it's a percentage of total.
They have to go.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I've seen them do that. So
the second question I have has to do with, so if we change the methodology, we're going to have
but we collect this as a fee stake, and it's covered under public resources. So that we won't have to.
My comment is, and this makes me really happy because this is what people are working for a long time. Thank you to the staff for doing a good job, and not a thank you to the ballers for raising rates so high that we are making too much money. But thanks to the staff for being efficient and effective. So, Tony, you were going to make a motion.
Yeah, you're ready. I'd like to go ahead and make a motion to adopt resolution 2024-06-01 Roy reduce the MMA solid waste management fee from 5.4 to 2.0 effective July.
Second. I just want to move second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Martin? Yes. Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Mr. Pauldy?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
And Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Emergency blowers.
I know, that's who we have on. Okay, the next item.
President is spending the following notice. Achieve compliance with state mandate, perform convert capital projects like moving the Morro Bay to the site, increase one time expenses under SB 1380 local assistance plan, continue to identify grant program gaps, and identify the program gaps, and move it under three pronouns function. To make the necessary updates to identify the policies and features, and to continue to conduct third party cost analysis. The fee analysis, so we get a solid waste management fee that fits our business model. Finish conducting the analysis of any gradual food recovery and waste processing and improve identity engagement to do. And these are the things that I think that are going to carry the aids forward. These are the things that we're focused on. So, I want to thank you. One thing you'll notice on this, the highlighted in yellow, is that the SB 1383 local assistance funding, that came in as a single check between our May meeting and today. So that is actually, instead of being booked into the 24-25 year, we're on date on the... that changes how where the revenue is booked. So it'll be booked in the 23.4 spending plan as opposed to the 24.5. And the reduction of the billings, in billings to outside agencies, that's what the county rejoining, the termination of the MOU, that will go on to the county for agency federal services. And lowering the solid waste management fee is one of the things that takes us down to 2.4 million in revenue from the solid waste management fee from about 2.8.
Where did you say the date was from?
Oh, the top.
Oh, at the very top. Okay. Let's correct that in our minds.
I didn't do it twice. So the significant expense items, what we're looking at is that we're fully staffed. So our custom salaries is going to go up more significant. Under SB 1383 local assistance, we're going to spend some more money on other minor equipment, which is the front of house. Pieces that I was talking about will also be spent more on professional services, which is developing our education outreach materials, public education and outreach to actually getting out there doing it. We're also going to utilize some of the SB 1383 funds for that. In addition, we're going to increase the cash grant availability for different jurisdictions. So we're going to double that portion that will make available to the agency so they can do this project similar to what the city of San Luis was doing, city of Paso Robles was done. And then we're going to actually function at an operating deficit as on this budget cycle, because we've had to shift the revenue from the grant from 23, 24, 25, 23, 24, etc. And those are the changes that we've done on this. On the summary, the number that's probably the most important is that we're still sitting on a total over $6 million of capital. Of that, $5 million is above the operators. So we have to eventually look at a way to spend that.
So the deficit that you reflected, Abraham?
It's a spending plan. That's because we booked out a good previous year. Any questions?
Thank you, Chair Marks. Thank you for the comprehensive presentation here and the good work of the staff report. One question I have is really, I guess, geared toward the shelter problem we have throughout the county. People that abandon stuff, you know, illegally dumped. And I'm sure our cities experience it too, and everybody has different resources. But is that something that we've ever thought about as an agency in terms of, you know, what collectively we can do together in that regard?
Short answer, yes. Long answer is that that's a multi-jurisdictional piece. And we've already begun engaging with environmental health, public works, and trying to come up with a collaborative plan. We can meet work with all the member jurisdictions to address this. We were starting with hazardous waste back into illegal dumping. And maybe some of these cleanup items. It's a challenging piece, because then all of a sudden you're assuming liability for something when you collect it. Mm-hmm. And it's beyond the scope of our purview for the most part, but it's still something that we really, it covers a lot of broad spectrums. It covers stormwater, hazardous waste, and solids. And so I think it's something that we're looking into, and we've created some dialogue with not just public works for the county of San Luis, but still the cities and some of the others. So we're going to expand this into our LPF as part of one of our long range plans.
Okay. Well, I certainly wouldn't want to suggest anything that's outside of the scope and purview of our agency. We're going to honor that JPA, right? Thank you.
It's just on the fringe.
Just on the fringe. I like it. All right. So,
I mean, it involves diversion from landfill, unfortunately, in the wrong kind of way.
Folks, we get credit.
So, yeah, I have a question that, following up on Professor Paulding's question. So, coming up, you have the city of clean up, we've got the haulers, right? Part of the reason for this is for an illegal dump. Especially the students just want to take couch and put it in somebody else's yard or something. So I'm curious, is are other jurisdictions doing that kind of thing? Is this something that the haulers do throughout the book?
Correct. The haulers do it. It exists in every contract, and some of the contracts have existed a little bit differently now. They've tried out a new voucher program in some locations. The city of San Luis Obispo is uniquely specific to having Cal Poly, and that area around Cal Poly, we refer to as the triangle. And things would just appear. It is a unique challenge. It's about 242, 250 tons every cleanup week.
450 this city last year.
So it's substantial, and these are challenges I wish I had a better solution to. Because you're looking at goods that could be repurposed, but challenge is where do you store them until they're repurposed? So and who makes that choice? So there's a couple there's a lot of different options out there, there's a lot of different models. And eventually and potentially this may be something that we can do. You can look at what County Monterey does, they do a second chance market title that they actually operate in front of a landfill where material is dropped off there. It's also picked up from it. There's lots of options.
It covers everything, right? Mr. Guthrie.
Yes, this is so on dealing with our accessory service, can we do it as just a straightforward credit that every one year we decide that we're going to get rid of it all at once into a credit?
I think that's a board decision that we can help
you. But it's possible.
It's anything's possible as long as legal agrees.
I don't think anything's possible.
It depends.
More likely you may just temporarily reduce the rate even to start to heat the reserve.
I think you would slow down.
Could you reduce to zero for 1 year? It just looked really good. Right now, let's prove this one.
So it's temporary until the next time we do a budget.
It would be temporary until the next time we do a budget, but we're hoping to have a study done for the next time we do a budget so that we actually have the intent would be to have a plan. So the next budget.
Are there any more questions?
One question. On page 173, bottom of the page, key budget assumptions. And I know we talked about 3.2% early on.
Yeah.
I see it's still in there, so. We just shot you in the foot, gave you 3.
Yeah, it did. All right. I will fix it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I just wanted to let you know I read
it. That's important. Good read this stuff. So. All right. Any other concerns, questions, comments?
Move to adopt the budget resolution for fiscal year 20.
I'll second it.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Robert?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Mr. Pauly?
Yes.
Ms.
Martin? Yes.
It passes me back.
Very good. Thank you. All right, and now we are going to the last item on our business agenda. After this, so item number. Let's do it one by one. So nominations for chair.
Keeping with our tradition as the vice president stepping up, I will nominate Robert to be the president.
Second.
Who was that?
Everyone.
Are there any comments on this? I'd like to hear from Mr. Robert. Robert, would you accept?
I will accept.
That's thank very
you. Jim, would you accept the duty of being the past president?
I'm happy to become the past president. Although I have to say, this is wonderful. This time, wonderful. I really enjoyed it and feel like being involved. We need roll call or is voice? This one. Okay. All those in favor of Robert?
Aye.
Okay. Now, important moment. I'm going to.
Until July.
Okay. So now we have to talk about nominating advice. President, who would be on the executive committee, Wondering if anyone is willing to make a nomination.
Scott, like that?
No.
Did it? Come on, Scott.
Mr. Guthrie, I think, was interested.
All right, yeah.
I will.
He's willing to do that.
So moved.
From Paulding, it was a motion.
It was a motion. Moved and seconded. Let's just have a voice vote then. All those in favor of Jim Guthrie, service vice president for the coming year? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Very good.
Now, I do want to say, though, as past president, so I am stepping down off executive committee.
Oh, no.
A day my wife thought would never arrive. So it's about going all these times. It's been a long time on executive committee for me. Very much enjoyed it. But I would like to thank Jan for her leadership of the board in the last year and a half, I think it's been. And then you can hand the gavel over to Robert in July. And maybe you can hand it to Peter. He'll keep it safe hands until.
Well, we don't have a meeting until August.
Huh?
We don't have a meeting until August.
July. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. So I think since we voted him as president, I think I can get the gavel now. All right, here you go, sir.
Thank you.
There. Yeah. Oh, I guess I still have it.
Yeah.
Okay, also.
You can borrow it.
This was sent for later. Okay. With that, then we're going to a closed session. I'm not sure how we get the camera to stop moving around.
Reach out to them. May I ask a second to demo the motion for just yourself?
No.
For the vice?
Yeah.
For the vice president was Robert was the second.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good. Do you know how to make the camera stop?
And more importantly, the microphone.
Mr. Marks, would you like to call for public comment in the closed session?
Can I start igniting? All right, after our closed session, then ask our.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are live to the public.
Thank you. All right, we're back from closed session, and I'd like to ask our legal counsel, please, to list this report.
Thank you, President Marks. The board met in closed session for items 16 and 17. There's no reportable action. Direction was provided to staff for both items.
Thank you very much. And so with that, this meeting is adjourned.
Where's that gap? Counted hard last time.
One second.